Hi. I thought I would take a few moments to discuss a long-term RAID understanding about the birth order, cycles and seasons, and so on. And you've been around the RAID work for many years. And you also co-wrote the birth order book, and you've taught RAID in many different forms over the years. So I thought that you would be a good one to just hear me out, interject as you wish to help it open up a bit. Part of it is in the 30 years ago, more than 30 now, more closely 35, when the birth order came, I really saw or felt at the time that number one son brought a specific lesson for the father and the mother. And that lesson for the father was humility to your number one son, as humility as being the first step onto the path of higher consciousness, love, evolution, happiness, and so on. And that the pattern was of number one son. For about 30 years, thereabouts, I practice again and again, sometime for as long as a year and a half continuously, trying to develop the quality of humility by a series of exercises and practices. Over the decades, the meaning of that has transformed, morphed, and still is. Now, for me, that was also the reason why I saw the winter solstice as the beginning of number one sun, because the winter solstice was when the first increase of light would occur. And for me, that was ascending in the winter, ascending yin. So I practice again and again that the humility exercise associated with the ascending day length was also corresponding to midnight as beginning the beginning of the day, and that midnight to two, being of the breath and the lung, and that the season of the year that was to occur was the winter solstice. I had numerous experiences along the way that were profoundly compelling. And one of them I had, I would share, and it leads into several. So if you have some interjection, please just don't mind my tendency to want to go on with it. Just interject. I was practicing the experience in the last 3 years of humility being a sincere desire to feel every feeling inside my soul, regardless of how it got there. But it was a sincere desire to want to feel it, so I would practice that all day. Then there was also the added experience of the social utilization of humility as being willing to have a moment to pause that if I'm receiving something, I make up no opinion during the time that the person is expressing themselves, and I wait. And then when I feel myself being at all resistant or triggered, I would practice being in the other person's shoes and receiving the information first as if it is true. And then if it's true, what are the repercussions of it being true? Especially if it was contradictory to something I already had a different belief system about. It was a very, very good exercise and still is. Just now practice that. In the process of doing this day by day is when I had this other experience that was, well, a series of them. And one of them was I was practicing and I saw myself quite clearly on a narrow rope bridge, very narrow one, barely enough for someone to hang on to. And the ropes were not very strong and the planks were filled with holes and this was a crossing an abyss. So it required a humility combined with an aspect of faith to continue to practice the humility to the experience of fear, because it was revealing to me my fear of falling, my failure, my worthlessness, whatever. And I kept practicing the protocol to experience that. And then a little while later, a day or two later, I would be on the bridge again and the bridge would get better. The ropes were a little stronger, the planks were a little more solid, and eventually that rope bridge got stronger and stronger and all the planks became strong boards, very strong bridge. And now I can walk across this bridge. My exercise is working. It's building me an access over the abyss. And as I practiced it, I got all the way across this abyss and there was a staircase. It was not a very pretty staircase. But there were no longer boards and ropes. It was now a solid kind of staircase and I'm walking and the staircase was dark at first and then I walked further. There's no handrails. And then there appeared the first little handrail to my right. And every time I came back to this counterclockwise descending staircase, it got lighter. And the handrail got stronger. And then another handrail appeared. And then gradually, the staircase was not a small staircase. It was 5 meters wide. And it was turning into white stone-like marble or something that wasn't really stone, but it was now the handrails became pure gold. And I'm finally on the right path, and I accelerated my exercises, and then I came to a barrier. Well, the barrier wasn't anything solid. The barrier was empty, and I could step no further. And there was no longer a staircase, just me staring into, and what I could see was down below me, just out of my reach by 2 meters, underground was a round ball. It was a white round ball, just a half a meter underground. And I knew from just an intuitive expression of it that it was a white ball of pure innocence. I go, the humility exercises are designed to lead me to pure innocence. But I couldn't get there. because it would go no further. Nothing I did by direction, by will, by meditation, by asking, by pleading, begging, praying, I could not reach it. And then one day I basically stopped the exercises, lay down, and right away there came this huge wave, like 3 meters high, a wave of feeling, and I instantly knew it was empathy. Wow. My empathy just went up by 3 to 5 times, maybe more. And, you know, all of my exercises had actually led to a reserved sphere or breakthrough into an increase of empathy. And my empathy was so liquefied in a way that I just wanted to body surf on my new skill set called empathy. And I was pointing my empathy at everything from birds to trees to people. And I was just... And a voice came and said, put it inside. At first, I'm kind of rebellious. I go, wait a second. Empathy is the ability to feel the feelings of other people. Other people are outside, right? That's where empathy is, right? No. So I put the empathy inside, and it immediately started to identify other people's feelings inside me through the increase of the textural opportunity to have more empathy. I could feel the existence of other people's feelings inside me. Not a pleasant feeling to discover with the newfound level of empathy that there are other people's feelings inside me. There were the obvious ones, my family, my ancestors. There were other people's guardians, teachers, whoever else. A lot of people had influenced me in some level or another and their feelings. And then there were other feelings I couldn't even comprehend. All of this came as a result of the increase of empathy. But the increase of empathy, which I would say is two girl, or the increase of the capacity to begin, now became the beginning of the path. And it became obvious to me, in my language, that mother's parents are number one boy, and the attribute there, humility, the lesson, humility. He's married to mother's mother, two girl, one boy and two girl. But the two girl is actually the wife of the one boy, and that the continuous increasing of the one boy reached a threshold where the empathy increased. But the energy needed to come back to from the two girl, the feminine empowering the awareness or the feeling of the inspiration. So my two girl empathy increased my awareness of and discernment of the multitude of different feelings inside me that I had to deal with. It's my responsibility to feel every feeling inside me, no matter how it got there. And that's where the difference was. Not from the winter solstice, but it took me almost 30 years to start the journey of the path on the first month of autumn. Hence, the first month after the autumn equinox is the entry into the cool of the season, into the water of the lake, into the peace. So if I want to step onto the divine love path, I need to have a sincere desire to feel more. And I'm the only one who can increase that feeling. And the increase of that with breath, humility, over a practice of time, taking that increase inside, that's when I had the experience of finding myself inside of a small walk-in closet. So the closet was maybe no more than 3 meters wide and 2 meters high, but it was an enclosure and it was dark. And when I was in that inside closet, I tripped over something and I went down and felt it. And it was a shape of a body, an adult body, half in the floor, half out. It wasn't alive in that presence anyway, but there was something crystallized about it. Then I got up and I moved a little further and I ran into about a meter to a meter and a half high, a small statue, a frozen statue. And I realized immediately that that frozen statue was a frozen memory in my childhood. And I realized that there were many other ones that I couldn't quite get to, but that was my life force, that was my feelings, frozen by something in my childhood, a memory. Many of the thousands and thousands of memories that we don't remember about our childhood, or in my case, there's many things in high school and college hikes too, I can't remember to this day, right? I'm sure they happen, but I don't remember them. Then I went a little further and I noticed that there was something else, a third thing, but I couldn't get to it. So I kept putting my new skill on it called empathy, and I couldn't catch it. I just couldn't catch it. I go, wow, what is that? So then a little while later, that stopped. A few days later, I'm doing the exercise again, and this time I'm in a much larger place that's hundreds of times larger than the walk-in closet. It has more light, and I can see more. It's still grayish dark, but I can see that the individual experiences of the bodies embedded in the floor, there are hundreds and hundreds of them, and they are ancestral memories embedded in me. Then I could see hundreds and hundreds, even more, of individual statues, and I had, thousands of childhood memories that were frozen. And it was my responsibility to unfreeze them, but I had to extend my use of empathy and feeling and desire to want to feel them in order to liberate them. I'm still working on them. I'm not anywhere near done. And then I could finally see that the third one was the damage inside the same area that I had put there. I'm the one who created the damage with my will, that by far the most difficult of all the damage was not my ancestors genetically, not my childhood from conception to 8 years old. Those weren't really the biggest problems. The biggest problems was the ones I put there. And those were elusive. They were so elusive that they were a three-boy pattern of not wanting to be caught. You know, so there was self-deception, self-delusion, projection, pandering, all of the forms of manipulative behavior, happy, sad, all the things around it, all the things about it, and those are the ones I needed to those are the hardest, and I'm still working on those.
So those ones are ones that we create ourselves, so they are in a way an expression of who we are. So if it's not pretty, they're the ones we most want to deny by creating facades around them so that we don't go there. If it's like created by someone else, like an ancestral pattern, you know, we can go, oh yeah, they're not really mine.
Yes.
And the childhood ones, there's that sense that, well, you know, this was done to me rather than I have actually done it. So rather than claiming it, that I think it's the hardest thing to do is claim I made a choice, I made a decision, I did something that has created pain that I'm carrying. That's the hardest thing, because it's about who we are as people.
And it was thousands of times larger.
Mm.
So part of what I'm trying to express is, in order to access these feelings, I need to have a sincere, and it'd be worth looking up that word because it's important, a sincere and intentional desire to want to feel each one of these three types. I need to have an active desire, even though my interior mechanism, my egoic function that wants to not feel pain, is finding ways for me to avoid those pains by either doing an addictive pandering thing or an addictive projection thing, either going into materiality or body chemistry, or going into illusory phenomenon, or going out of body. Wow. So for me to get onto the path, now is the very first month of the autumn, starting at the autumn equinox, and stepping into it week by week, day by day, hour by hour, with a sincere desire to experience the feeling emotional importance of peace inside me, and accessing it into the mother's mother, by the way, which is the entry line into the mitochondrial sequence that comes through the mother to the grandmother to the great-grandmother, from mother to two girl to four girl, all along that line. And those are that's the first 2 months of autumn, two girl and four girl. Then to connect the third one, I need to have the willingness to ask for divine help to connect the first two to the third one, which we can go into another time, but I want to give some purpose and understanding to why is it no longer, for those who practice in the past, humility being the beginning. It took me 30 years to come to a new place where right now it's feeling and peace, or feeling and sincerity, that leads to the long-term 12-month pattern of the sequence of the entire year is all pronouncedly formed and actualized in this very first month based on feeling. Now, I know that's a lot, and I'm still accessing it. Later on, I'd like to go through it.
Do you think that it's often difficult, like in the birth order, we talk about one boy, one girl, and in our way of thinking, one is normally the place you start, you know? So it's like we get locked into, we start at one and then we go to two and then we go to three. And yet one boy, although from the mother's side of the family, has a masculine element to it. And yet two girl being a mother's, from the mother's mother's line, is from that feminine that allows you an instantaneous entry into the internal experience and what we're talking about on a spiritual pathway is how to go within ourselves, because that's where we need to look. That's where the pathway begins, is inside of ourselves. And so to increase our empathy of who we are inside is the place we need to start in order to change and grow and increase our humility. Like, it's almost a gift that we give to that, the mother's father's line is to knowing ourselves, and it takes humility to also look at that place.
Yes, exactly. Now it's like, okay, how to step on this path? There is the month, first month of autumn, peace. There's the second month of autumn, because they come in sets of three, which is change or opening the heart in some way. The third month of autumn, the sixth girl month, is the divine intervention to operate on our behalf. But that's voluntary, to use one's feeling, empathy, open heart, to ask for divine guidance to help us discover the feelings that we are still numb to or denying that exist inside of us in one of those three categories. And later on, we'll do a whole recording about those three categories more fully. But I really just wanted to share my experiences, because this just happens to be, for us, the last day of the first month of autumn. You're in the southern hemisphere, so you're in the last day of the first month of spring, and we're on the opposite sides. So you're in spring and heat, and I'm in the northern hemisphere and autumn and cool, and yet we're communicating these two opposites to each other. You know what? What scares me, Edith, is after all these years, you must be crazy, because I think you actually understand it.
I think it's a wonderful journey, and I think it's such a journey of self-discovery, and that has the capacity to change us and really do something fabulous in our lives and in the lives of those we touch along the way as well.
Amen. So I hope some people who do listen to this to the end actually enjoy it. We will probably have a conversation like this, you and I, each month, to go through the opposite sides of the planet with this. Maybe sometime we should do your two boy side and move. Good luck with that one.
Yes.
That one scares me a bit. All right. Thank you for being there for me and holding space and sharing as you did. I'll see you again next month.
Excellent.